الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فقد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: إن شد الناس عذابا يوم القيامة المصورون. رواه البخاري، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. We should remind ourselves, our families, friends, that these are the Mubarak days, that each day's Roza is equal to 1 year's Roza, each night's Ibadat is equal to Laylatul Qadr's Ibadat. Allah, the most He loves His Ibadat in the whole year, as is during these days. And the Ibadat which is mentioned in the Hadith, so simple, the third Kalima. So we should regularly ask our family members, how much have you read? Have you read your third kalima? Have you read it 100 times? And don't wait for a reply, but just ask. And say, I have read it 100 times, I've read it 10 times, inshallah I'll complete my 100, I'll complete my 300. In other words, encourage one another all the time. And then the qurbani, the best ibadat Allah loves on the 10th of Dhul-Hijjah, which will be the day of Eid, is the slaughtering of animals. And this, before that blood reaches the ground, which is, you can say, immediately, more before that, it is accepted by Allah Ta'ala. And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, فَطِيبُوا بِهَا نَفْسًا. Open your heart and happily make your qurbani. To spend the money, don't feel any narrowness, tightness. We waste so much money on other things. If we can just spend that on our qurbani and do it happily and try and do for Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, of course our own, if it is farz, that is our first farz, and then for whoever else we can, for the sahaba-i-kiram, the khulafa-i-rashideen, our asatiza, our mashayikh, great great ulama, great great sahaba, the fuqaha, whoever we can, we should try and spend. And many people send their qurbani overseas. So send the nafal if you want to there. But our faraz, do it our own self. And do it at home. And then share the meat also properly with the poor also, with the family also, with everyone. So these are great days of ibadat. And we should not be unmindful of them. May Allah tabarak wa ta'ala bless us with this reality, and let us really benefit from these valuable days that are passing. And the greatest day of the year will be the 9th of Dhul-Hijjah, the day of Arafah, which will be for us Yom Ustab, Saturday. And on that day, let us try and read as much as possible the third kalima, so the fourth kalima. And then, of course, the takbir at tashriq from Fajr of Saturday, for 23 namazes. So let us be there, make sure we do that. And especially for human folk who make namaz on their own, easily they can forget. So they should just write a little note there, leave it down by the musalla or somewhere nearby, takbir, so that they can be reminded. Otherwise they forget. It's wajib for them also to read it. May Allah give us tawfiq. We were discussing about photography and the great harms. In this hadith that we have read, it comes that the worst azab, the most severe punishment on the day of Qiyamah, will be for those people who make photos. And the reason for that given in the hadith sharif is that they are trying to copy Allah in His creative power, which is exclusive for Allah Ta'ala. So they are trying to become partners with that. And also, as we had mentioned, that drawing the picture with the hand is not so accurate as what a camera makes it. And more accurate than the camera is a digital photo. So this is not being permitted because it's a different form, but makes it more haram. Because that creativeness is more, it is more manifested when a person takes this digital photo. So we should try and avoid. It also comes in the Hadith Sharif that the worst punishment on the day of Qiyamah will be for 3 categories of people. The one is who kills a Nabi. We can imagine what a terrible guna that is, too, and the Bani Israel were very much guilty of this. They slaughtered them, bi alayhi salatu wa salam. That is the worst, or who a Nabi kills. And then the second is, those people who lead people to misguidance, who are the leaders, who are miftahu shar, they are the keys of evil, and they lead people towards evil. And many places in the Quran Sharif, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala mentions what their arguments will be on the day of Qiyamah in Jahannam. The blame game will start, where they will blame one another. And the worst punishment will be for those people. And then the third is for those who make photos. So we can well imagine that this is in the same category of those who killed the Anbiya alayhimus salatu wasalam. So how severe this sin will be. We explained and we showed that we understand that historically also that this photography led to idol worship. So we can imagine how evil it is. Today when we just got it on our phone and easily we can take photos, we should think what a severe guna we are committing. And when it is Qurbani time, and if we are taking photos, videoing it all, then we have got gallons and gallons of Zamzam water. And now we are urinating in that. In the Zamzam we are urinating. And unfortunately, with the easiness of taking photos on the cell phone, and this is the worst type of the picture image that is being made. And we find how many good people who otherwise are very pious, but we also fall prey to this, and we get involved in this guna. So we should be very careful about this. Also, we mentioned then last week that a name change and a method change does not change the reality. A photo is a photo. Whatever we want to call it, whichever other name, but it is a photo, it is a picture. We can give it names of image or digital, it's a digital photo or whatever, but it is that photo which has been made haram. So we should abstain from it fully. And the method of making it, also whichever method we use, it is still haram. The photo is haram, whichever method we use. We change a name, we call Pretoria Swani, the name change can take place, but the place, whether we call it Pretoria, whether we call it Swani, it's still the same. And the method of going there, going to Sun City, some years back, that was one of the big fitnas that was around, which was a gambling place, and many people unfortunately should go there. So whether you go walking or whether you go by helicopter, it makes no difference. You are still going to the same place. So by name change and method change doesn't change the reality. The reality still remains the same. Another aspect is a very important point which the fuqaha refer to in various terms, that sababul haram haramun. The thing which is a cause of a haram, though that cause itself is not haram, but it's a cause of haram. So that is also haram. Sababul farad faradun. And a thing which is the cause of a farad, that person, that thing just may be permissible, but because it's the cause of a farad, it is also farad. So this is one basic concept of the fuqaha, and lot of examples of this is given. One, to understand it easily, I can remember when I was a small boy, then my marhum Baji, my father, he would not allow my elder brothers who were young at that time to just sit on the stoop also. And what's wrong in sitting on the stoop? Nothing wrong. You're nice, cool, calm time, you sit. But we had a colored family living in the neighborhood, and there were young girls there. And then they would come around the side walking there. So just by sitting there, if they can get in, they can get involved. They start speaking, etc., whatever. So that cause, though to sitting on the stoop is not haram, but it can lead to a haram. So they understood this without all the detailed knowledge of deen. But they understood this. And that sitting there, which is permissible, and it can lead to other haram. So that also then becomes haram. The thing that can lead to a haram is also haram. So they and fuqaha have given various examples of this. That a thing that can, for example, in the Quran Sharif, Allah Ta'ala says, وَلَا تَسُبُّ الَّذِينِ يَدْعُونَ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ. Do not swear and speak ill and bad and demonize those people who worship things besides Allah Ta'ala. Because if you do that, فَيَسُبُّ اللَّهَ, then they will swear Allah Ta'ala. So you became the cause of it. Same way it comes in the Hadith Sharif, that one of the signs of Qiyamah will be that a person will swear his own father. The Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum said, how can that be possible? Somebody swears his own father. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when you swear somebody else's father, he becomes angry and in retaliation, he swears your father. So you became the cause. So you are regarded as the one you swore your own father. So the cause of a haram is also haram. So don't swear anyone's father. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam told Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha that the Kaaba Sharif, how Ibrahim alayhi salam built it, I wish to build it again like that. That the Hatim wasn't a separate. They ran short of funds. So they did not include it. They just made that little wall as we see the Hatim today. But actually that was also like the build of Kaaba, that was part of it also like that. And there was the eastern door which is still there till today. There was a western door opposite. The one door to enter the Kaaba and the other door to exit it. Another third thing they changed, they did not want any and everyone to enter the Kaaba Sharif. And they said that who we will allow, only they can enter. So they raised the floor of the Kaaba. So to enter it, you need a ladder now. You can't, it's not floor level. It is raised up, the entrance. The door is about, 1 meter or just over 1 meter, 1.5 meter higher than the ground level. So that is another change. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said that I wish to build it again. But he told Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anhu, but I fear your people, that is the Arabs, they have just accepted Islam. And for them the Kaaba is as they have known it, as we see it today. And if I change it now, they will get, they will lose trust in me, that he has come and he has changed our Kaaba. And there's a fear that they will leave Islam. So therefore, he didn't do it. So the cause, it could be the cause of them leaving Islam. So he did not do that. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam did not do that. So anyway, the basic concept, and there's quite a bit of detail by the fuqaha on this matter on various aspects. But basically, a cause of haram is also haram. So if taking photos was permissible, if it was, it is not permissible, but if it was, and if there were benefits also in it, then too, because of the harm it's causing, it should, on that basis also, it is necessary to declare it as haram. Because it's leading, one is to idol worship as it has been experienced. It's a historical fact which nobody can deny. And till today, as we mentioned, when I was in Indonesia, many places they would ask us to make namaz at the shops also, houses also, and everywhere there were photos of the mashayikh just above the place where you make sajda. So this, in this way, how many of our good friends have photos of our elders, our pious people, various buzurgs of ours, and they revere them. They respect and honor them. This leads also eventually to idol worship. So all these things we should be very, very careful and stay away totally from it. And then the harms which are by photography, that is also on its own sufficient to declare it haram. even if photography itself was permissible, but the harms it leads to, on that basis also, is the general principle of the fuqaha, on that basis they will declare it haram. There is a person, Jawad Abdul Mateen. He is in the Islamic Academy of Communication Arts in Pakistan. And when he wrote this, which is some time back, he wrote to Mufti Taqi Usmani Sahib. He says that he had 13 years of experience in the information of digital technology and modern sciences with regard to technology, etc. So from the letter he wrote, it appears that he's a very deeni conscious person. A little summary of the letter, not everything, but some of it. He says, one is, as we have mentioned, that historically this leads to idol worship. And as we understand that Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam, in his time, it had become so rife that they said clearly, La tazarunna alihatukum. Don't worry of what Nuh is saying. You people never ever give up your idol worship. So much it had come. And the other thing, which is the photos lead to, terrible thing, behayai and shamelessness. That the types of photos that are made and sent around, and of course when it comes to porn and all that, a person, good people, outwardly still, with beards, topis, kurtas, everything, but inside, that shamelessness has come. And they desire from inside this evil and this filth and dirt. And this is all a big contributing factor to this is the photos and photos of these things. Photos, we see people, women also unfortunately dressed like that. Whether we, especially like in airports, marketplaces, we see women dressed like that. But that is not so much as what the photo is with you all the time. And you are watching it. And on the cell phone, watching all the various types, whether it's a news reader, whether it is some journalist, how they are dressed, how their dressing tempts a person. All this here leads to a lot of gunas in a person. So the shamelessness, it all greatly adds to accept as normal. For example, the mini skirt, nudity. Today if we say, you know how this woman dress, like we accept it. Whereas it should be a thing a person abhors and hates. She shouldn't be, can't think about it also. But today all of us, we say, you know how these people dress, it's like accepted. It is wrong, we understand, but the gravity and the seriousness of that wrong is not with us. And that is unfortunately because we haven't seen the righteous and pious environment. We grew up with all this evil around us. So we just accept it as the norm, that this is the normal thing. But what actually piety and righteousness is, if we see that and now we see this, a person won't be able to tolerate it for one moment also. So, and this photography greatly aids in all these things. This person, Jawad Abdul Mateen, writes that this photography is eating away the whole ummah like white ants. Perhaps we are not so much aware of the white ants, but when we were in India, we had our kitabs, and if we did not check them regularly, white ants would come from inside and eat up the whole kitab. When you open the kitab, you'll find there's nothing. Just the borders are left and the whole thing is eaten away. In this way, there's white ants, and there also many times a tree, they eat it from inside. And now just the outside, and then that with a little, just a touch, or a little gust of a wind, and that whole tree falls down. And this is what is happening to the ummah with regard to this. The very foundation of the ummah is being destroyed. The youth of the ummah on the path of destruction. And where his work, and his work, what it entails, he's seeing all these things happening. Great destruction he sees in the future for the ummah and for our youth especially. The shamelessness that it's bringing, the lives of lust, and fulfilling one's lust from digital photos. And today they discusses this from a scientific point of view also. We don't have to go in all those details in technical terms that or what they discuss. But basically it is that a person, a picture, we know people worship it also. And from a picture, a person satisfies his lust also. Usually a person will satisfy his lust, a man with a woman, but just from a picture, a person satisfies his lust also. And he says that in schools and universities you can expect this. But now, he says, from my experience, boys and girls of Darul Ulooms are involved also. And we know it's a fact also. The sending a photo, to take a photo, your selfie, anything else. And one fact, one student of ours, he took a photo of his wife, a married student. And by mistake, in a very, very compromising way, the way she was at that time. And by mistake or whatever, he sent that photo to a friend of his. How terrible these things are. So this very, the root cause of it is this photo. And the reason of this discussion is if we can understand the gravity of it. Today we take it, it's a photo. We're taking a photo. And good people, or for anything, we take photos. We take a child's photo. We take a cat's photo. Anyone's photo. All these are very terrible gunas, which is very important that we stay away from it. So he says, the boys and girls from my experience that of Darul Ulooms, and it's very fearsome and heartbreaking, and it burns the heart, and one feels to be sunk in the ground is better in these cases. For conscious Muslims, they will rather be in the ground, in their graves, than what the things we are coming to learn, and what about this photography. But for us, it is just one of those things. The seriousness, and the worst part is the guna, that a person doesn't recognize it as a guna. Or he takes it as light, which comes in the Hadith Sharif, that those people who are munafiqs, they commit the worst guna, and it was like a fly sitting on the nose, and you just made it fly away. It's a small thing, nothing. Whereas a mu'min, it will be like a mountain has fallen on him. And he can't rest till he hasn't made tawbah. MashaAllah, there are those friends of ours also. One good friend of ours says that when he was young, when they got married, all the photos they took, photo album they had, but when he came to realize the seriousness of this, he says, I went home, and it was winter, and the fire was burning, and we took that whole album and we threw it into the fire. So if that comes into us, that all whatever photos, wherever we have got them on our phones, if we have got albums or whatever, we completely destroy it. We don't keep one photo of anything. Any animate object's photo, we don't keep it at all. We destroy it completely. And how happy Allah will become. It is like destroying idols. Like Ibrahim alayhi salam destroyed the idols. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam destroyed the idols in the Kaaba. Inshallah, a person will get great thawab like that, inshallah. And he writes that now the water has gone over the heads already. In other words, we are in a very, very sad state. And the sad part for us is that we don't even realize. We are so much involved. Newspapers in our houses doesn't mean anything. We want to order something, and we see pictures on the while we are ordering also on the phone, and with no consciousness that it is haram, that I must just turn my eyes away. It means nothing to us to speak to a woman, whether it's on the phone also. We speak, we have to speak, and it's nothing. At least that consciousness remains there, that guilty feeling remains there. Today, as we have mentioned, we come to the masjid and we don't feel any happiness in our heart. We go to a shopping mall and we don't feel any sorrow, sadness in the heart that I'm in this place of guna here. And that we make tawbah after that. When we come to the masjid, we make shukr that here we have, and somebody is reading Quran, somebody is reading namaz. This should bring joy in our heart. The day of Jumu'ah comes, naturally joy should come in. Oh, this great day has come. these 10 days, that the joy should be in our heart. And that we, when the Ramadan gets finished, getting finished, sadness should come into our heart. But we don't, we in fact feel happiness, Ramadan is coming to an end. And whatever, now the bayan, sometimes the bayan, oh, going too long. Whereas we should be enjoying when we are hearing talks of deen. And when it's getting finished, well, then there are, mashallah, some people who say, I wish the talk should just carry on. Or the qiraat of the imam should just carry on, the beautiful reading. But today, when the dua also is going a bit longer, we make dua, in fact, in our hearts. I wish he can stop now. How Lord is making? We don't make in our 24 hours. What? How much time do we spend for dua? And we get this opportunity perhaps once a year. That's a little bit longer dua. And what long? 10 minutes, 15 minutes. Very seldom 20 minutes. 20 minutes a year for dua. And that's also too long for us. It shows that our imani condition is very, very weak. And we have to become conscious. And the turbulence and the thrice at the time of maut. And with this weak iman, how are we going to cross that? You need strong iman. Shaitan comes in various forms at that time. So we have to build ourselves to have that strong iman. And he says, in the name of Deen, TV, YouTube. In the 50s, he refers to the Arabs, they at that time mostly, they gave permission that for ulama to come on TV. There was no YouTube at that time, and in those countries where TV had started, etc., and spread deen through that. But he sees the consequences today that we see, about particularly referring to the Arab youth, that they are far from deen. Shamelessness and indecency has come. Western way of life. And this is, these are a few results of this permission of photography, that it was permitted for a good intention, that deen will spread, but all the opposite spread. And that is the system of Allah. When we use the wrong method, though we do it with the right intention, but that intention is not enough. If we are going to steal money from somebody, and our intention is good, we are going to give it to the poor, and we distribute it, we don't keep 1 cent for ourselves. No, the intention must be correct. The method must also be correct. Both must be correct. Encourage that person. Spend on the poor. There is a dire need. But we can't do it the wrong way. The same way to spread deen. The intention may be really good. Really sincere. That here is a TV, easy way to spread deen. But the reality is that deen will never spread through these wrong channels. And through the wrong way, deen will never spread. Evil will spread in that way. Not deen. Deen will not spread in that way. And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, our lives will be sacrificed. Our parents' lives will be sacrificed. What the Nabi Allah gave us, and what teaching, that at that time till Qiyamah, he made photography haram. So that no matter what the methods can come or what name change can come, but it is haram, so that we could be saved of all these things. We could be saved of idol worship. We can be saved of the same shamelessness and indecency and behayai which has overtaken us. And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam made it haram from the root, that we get saved from all these things. And these, the effect of photos, without any doubt, is not less than that of the effect of jinn or jadu. Like a person who is affected by jinn and is overtaken and possessed by the jinn. A person is affected by jadu, black magic, and now he is not in his right senses and is doing. For photos have got the same effect also. And when people revere and respect and honor these pictures, then it is there. And whether it is a woman in nude, his mind doesn't work anymore. And on the porn and that, we see that a person is completely lost. He is not in his own control. like the jinn has taken control, that voter takes control. And today, how many people, not one voter, how many nude voters a person is watching? And the basis of all this is the permission of photography, which Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam categorically made it haram totally, so that the ummah can get safe from all this. And then he pleads in his letter, and he says, to protect the deen and the honor and sanctity of deen, a very, very strong worded fatwa has to be given against photography. Then Mufti Taqi Sahib replied verbally, and unfortunately it was a very lukewarm reply, in which he says that photography, the harms of it are terrible, and it leads to a lot of wrong. All that, he denounces the photography, but still permits photography, that it is still permissible. It is like a person who says going to the brothel or going to the bar is haram. It is halal to go there, but haram to drink there. Or you go to a brothel, it's permissible to go there, but it is haram to get involved in it. When you go to such places, when you start with photography, you're going to get involved in all the haram of it. The right thing, even from other principles of deen, when it leads to all this haram, this be hayai, idol worship, on that basis also, even if it was permissible, and there were benefits of it, it still had to be declared haram. And one serious thing of this is that the gravity and the harm of this photography has gone out of our hearts. As inshallah in future we will mention how our buzurgs, what we had experiences with them, how they were totally against, and they did not tolerate photography in the least, but the masala was the masala, but the practical experience that we had with them, how they were totally against it. And today we just accept it as normal, that it's a photo, even if we accept it as haram, it's haram, it's there, but we don't realize the terribleness. Today a person in our family, my brother, my sister, somebody not making namaz, well, she doesn't make namaz, but I still socialize with her, it means nothing to me, I don't feel anything. How many other wrongs we are committing, the ihsas, the feeling of guna is also gone out of us. And what the reality of deen is and what we are supposed to be today, that is totally out of us. So it's very important, and this photography has a major share in creating this, and also the harms of the photography itself are very, very grievous and very serious. Today, Maulana Hanif, Muhammad Hanif Jalandri, Rahmatullah, Damat Barakatum, was also in the meeting with Mufti Taqi and other senior great ulama of Pakistan, where this question came about, and that photography, the harms of it all. But Mufti Taqi Sahib still maintained that it is permissible. And Maulana Muhammad Jalandri, he also used to come on YouTube, also photos, everything. He made complete tawbah and he said, totally haram. And he said that, amongst his very many other things, he said this photography has converted our masajid into wedding halls. Like a wedding hall, all the photos that are taken, drones there are, and all the videoing that takes place, etc., all that, he says, our masjids have been turned into that. And at this point, a little bit, we digress also, that masjids, we all have to be very careful, especially like after nikah. After the nikah and many other places, our tablighi marak is after a bayan, tashkil takes place. By all means, the tashkil must carry on, but that it becomes like a marketplace, the masjid. And people congratulating the groom, etc. And then the voices that are raised. And in the process, azan takes place. And no respect for azan. These are also very serious things. And very, very harmful. But nobody takes note. Allah reward those ulama. MashaAllah, there are plenty of ulama who announce after the nikah that you want to meet the groom, meet him, no problem. But keep the sanctity of the masjid in place. And this is another question of its own, the respect and honor of the masjid. Today, how many people at various communities, when in the masjid also they speak loudly, laugh loudly also. Once we were in Masjid al-Nabawi, not very far behind Rozai Mubarak, and there were some people sitting who looked like students or ulama, and they were laughing, lying down, rolling on their stomachs and laughing loudly. And just no respect and for Masjid al-Nabawi and right near Rozai Mubarak. Whereas in the time of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, there were two people who were talking a little bit loudly. Then Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu did not even use his voice. He took a pebble and he just threw it at one sahabi to draw his attention. He didn't even speak to call him. Like for example, say, Yusuf, come here. Hassan, come here. Not that also. Just a little, like tapping him a bit. And then he whispered in his ear. And he said, go and call those two people for me. When they came, he asked them, from where are you? They were from Taif. He said, had you been from Medina Sharif, I should have given you such a punishment. How can you speak loudly in the Masjid al-Nabawi? And today, for us in the masjid, loud speaking, etc., ulama have shown adab of even reading the Quran Sharif loudly. When you are in the masjid and it causes disturbance to somebody, all this, how a lot of etiquette we have been taught, but we are just oblivious of all this. And the harms of this photography, the sanctity and honor of Haramain Sharifain, of Kaaba Sharif, Masjid al-Haram, and Masjid al-Nabawi is totally lost. There was a time when people used to gain their entertainment with their TVs in their rooms or in the shopping malls, etc. Now they are having that entertainment in the masjid with the cell phone, taking photos, etc. So much so that recently now, one person who was a Pakistani, he had his cell phone on a stick, had it up, and videoing everything and sending it to Pakistan. And the whole object, the sanctity, the honor of Haramain Sharif, Rozai Mubarak, Kaaba Sharif, right by Rozai Mubarak, people are taking selfies, people are taking photos, etc., right at the Kaaba Sharif. And when this all, that Allah kept us away from the masjid, this is a punishment from Allah, that we open our eyes, but still we won't take any lesson, and we're just carrying on in our blind stupor, and we're just still doing what we want to do. It looks like only mort will open our eyes, when it will be too late. All this, what conditions have come? Our load shedding, which is here. In other places, water shedding, they're not getting water also. The potholes on our roads, the condition of our roads, what governance is coming to, Allah only knows, but nothing will open our eyes. Looks like the only thing we are going, our family members, what illnesses they are going through, what difficulties we are going through, but nothing seems, we just want to carry on, and like we complain, petrol price is gone so high, but we are traveling more now. That we are complaining, Qurbani, animals are so expensive, but we are eating out much more. And all the wrong things we are doing, it looks like only when Malakul Maut will appear, then we'll come to our senses, but then of course that will be far too late. And the other terrible thing, which Maulana Hanif Jalandhari also complains about, that how many ulama have got their TV crew with them, or their videoing crew who set up the camera there when they are giving their bayans, or in their masjids they've got their cameras, and everything of theirs goes on YouTube, and from there it is really a source of entertainment, and it is really a money making thing, a thing for name and fame. And how many of such ulama give their own names to their channels, Sheikh so and so. They just put their own names there, and they're doing it all themselves and making themselves famous. Clearly it shows that we are just after name and fame, and we are after money with all these things. And there is absolutely no deen can spread in that form. It is just an outward form, and is destroying deen right from the inside. And the very foundation of deen is being eroded and destroyed. And then with this year, how many of our boys and girls, which is a fact, And then not only boy, how many marriages are breaking up? How many homes are being destroyed? And very sad, grown-up people, grandparents are also getting involved. And the root cause of all this is this photography. And so Allah Ta'ala give us this understanding. If we can, and those who become examples of this, and we cut it off completely, and we don't allow it at all, for us, our children, our family, especially now with Qurbani, no for taking of photos, no videoing whatsoever. And we all stand firm on it. Hopefully some change, if Allah wishes, can come. And this is, as mentioned by this person, that it is the root cause that is destroying the ummah from inside. And when we are destroyed from inside, then it doesn't take any effort to just push us around. What's happening in Palestine? What's happened in Bosnia, Kosovo, all these places? India at the moment, what is not happening? What we heard some time ago about Sri Lanka, etc. In France, how the Muslims are being treated. But for us, we just still carry on. Now, our bride place will still carry on. Our parting will still carry on. Whether it's a funeral, and the parting will carry on at the funeral also. All just outward show. Allah Ta'ala guide us and make us understand, and we save ourselves completely from this very, very terrible guna, which is terrible, and it has become worse terrible, that we're not thinking it of as a guna also. We just take it for granted. It means nothing to us. And we have got photos everywhere splashed around. And we know ihtiyat, even on our money, make some ihtiyat, cover it up. Not that we display it all the time. Whatever, wherever it is, we try and take our precautions and we save ourselves from it. May Allah Ta'ala guide us to righteousness and save us, inshallah.